It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Test, test. Can you hear me?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series. Of course, you know what to do if you like what you see and what you hear. Hit that subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists. And discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. The recent guests that I've had on here have included bands like Inhaler and the Kinks, Cowboy Junkies, Illenium, G-Eazy, New Pornographers, Belinda Carlisle, The Go-Go's, Les Claypool of Primus, Feist, and actors like Brendan Hunt, who plays Coach Beard on Ted Lasso, Kylie Rogers to talk about the movie Beau is Afraid, Wyatt Olaf and Chase Sui Wonders to discuss City on Fire, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Travis Van Winkle to talk about FUBAR, Jemima Kirk, and John Roberts, who voices Linda Belcher on Bob's Burgers. All those and so much more at the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Igor from the band Daughter. We're going to be talking about their brand new record called Stereo Mind Game. This is their first new full-length since 2016. So we'll hear about the journey to here and the discarded music that eventually led to this LP. It's thread to the video game soundtrack they did to Before the Storm and taking some inspiration from Johnny Greenwood's Phantom Thread soundtrack too. Igor is also going to discuss the struggles with simplicity, using voice messages as a base for lyrics, and the symbolism behind the dandelion on the album cover as well. All that and more, we're talking Stereo Mind Game. It's Kyle Meredith with Igor of the band Daughter.
Yeah, oh, hi.
It's Stereo Mind Game. I know we had to wait a little bit for this record, but I think it's the best thing that you all have done yet. It's just such there's so many cool sounds on it, and I know there's a lot of emotions, and I know it's probably easy to ask where 7 years went, but I mean, I guess any band gets to that point. I mean, why did you all need the time away from each other, if that was the main reason?
It was a reason, certainly for a little bit. I wouldn't say that it caused us to take that long. But I mean, first off, thank you so much for saying all those really nice things. We feel very proud of what we've done, and we're so excited for people to hear it. It took us... we started working on this album in 2017. Let me rewind. What happened is we started like kind of messing around with some ideas around that time, but then we also had this break planned for a year in 2018. So, you know, that already brought us to 2019, when we started properly working on this album. And, you know, within a year, as we all know, the pandemic started and that kind of slowed stuff down for us quite a bit. And, you know, we're also perfectionists, so it takes a while for us to be happy with something. But, you know, in total, that's the sum of, yeah, nearly 7 years.
Still, to have, you know, started this record, you know, which is 2017, even just the seeds of it, you know, to have this long to kind of, I don't know, dream up something, does it change course over those years? Do you find, looking back?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think we wrote about three albums. you know, it was just one of those, I guess, experiences where you kind of, you know, you grow with the music and then some of the music kind of just doesn't quite match where you're at anymore and you start again. So, and that happened a few times with a few songs. Some songs kind of existed in different versions and still, you know, made it onto the record. Yeah, but in terms of dreaming something up, it's, you know, until it's recorded and, you know, put down onto tape or, you know, onto computer, it's still a dream, you know, it's still something that you're imagining and playing with.
Is there, you all did the music from Before the Storm in that time as well. Do you find then that there's a direct impact or a thread between that one and this album?
There's a thread in terms of feeling quite free, I guess. I think making that soundtrack helped us kind of, you know, maybe expand this, let's say expand our sound a little bit in terms of like pushing the edges of it a little bit outward into other territories. And we kind of tried to bring that to this record in terms of just being like, well, you know, we can try anything we want. This is fine. This is okay. I guess just, you know, we've always kind of had a bit of a cinematic sound, I'd say, because we have been inspired by soundtracks, by just, you know, epic kind of music. But I guess it's helped us, like, yeah, maybe expand our palette a little bit.
Do you keep specific soundtracks around when you're making specific albums? Like when you listen to this album, can you hear those soundtracks?
I wouldn't say, I try not to think about other music too much when we're making ours, but I definitely get like images and, you know, I have little movies in my mind maybe. But I guess, like, you know, one that stayed with me, it probably has absolutely no relation whatsoever to our music, but the Phantom Thread, you know, Johnny Greenwood's soundtrack, is, yeah, that was something that I listened to quite a lot.
Yeah, well, of course, inspiring doesn't mean it has to sound like that, as we know, you know. Yes. sometimes it's just that, you know, what you hear sets you off on this long journey that ends up being something else that sounds so different. And it's always, yeah, kind of funny how that works.
Exactly. Yeah. And somehow you still sort of see the connection.
Right. So,
yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Igor of Daughter. There's certain sounds on here I was drawn to, and you know, first off, I'll just hit one of them. You know, as a producer, when the drums kick in and I get, you know, those hearts in my eyes for trip hop and the trip hop days that I loved so much,
yeah, you
know, it's reminiscent of that, especially when those drums become such a central part of some of the songs. How do you handle those? I guess I'm saying, how do you handle the drums on this album? What, you know, do you think of them as a character in that way?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, Remy has a very musical approach to his drumming, where it's, you know, and maybe actually on this record, there's like a few more like kind of, you know, steady, like, you know, backbeat kind of songs, but he's a very expressive player in terms of like how he thinks of his sound. So, you know, I think, I mean, first and foremost, credit to him to just, you know, playing and recording, what's the word, like tunefully, in the sense of like we're in tune with the music, as opposed to just being like someone who just shows up and goes like, right, I'm just hitting these drums now just the way I like them and that's it. And I guess what we've tended to do is to like process the drums so they sound maybe like actually not quite like drums, you know, like more electronic, more distorted, or equally try to use organic drum sounds and sequence those in an electronic fashion and just kind of play with maybe the like the differences of the two and confuse, try to slightly confuse people.
What's an interesting, what's the phrase I'm looking for? Push and pull, maybe? Like even, mm-hmm. not even just the drums, but like the synths, Be On Your Way, that track. Like that's definitely, it gives me this whole push and pull with what's almost like a tide, if that makes sense.
Yes, completely. Yeah, thank you. That's great. Yeah, I definitely think of music as something that's quite liquid and yeah, tide, waves, all those kind of words I very much resonate with.
And for me though, that, you know, almost sounds like so simple, but probably isn't. or maybe it is. It was just reminding me of I was just talking about the song with somebody else, but a track like Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Mm-hmm. You know, in my head, you know, that's one of those fully realized songs, one of the greatest songs of all time, as far as I'm concerned. And then one day I learned it, how to play it. And I thought, oh my God, that's so simple. We're talking about like two chords back and forth. Yeah. Like when you get to those moments, are you the type that, you know, struggles with overthinking something? Because this is one of those moments where I'm thinking like, this sounds simple, but how can it be? Because it also doesn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh no, totally. And there's a lot to say about this. There's probably like books to write. So I'll try to keep it short. So personally, I have a bit of a weird approach where, you know, it often starts simple and then I'll definitely overcomplicate it, like kind of on purpose. Like I'll just throw everything at it and just see what sticks and what doesn't. And as we keep on working on it, I'll often like just keep on stripping it back down, you know, and see what that transformation brings, you know, whether it brings it back to just the very core idea, whether it's just slightly different. But I kind of have to go through that whole process to get back to, like, to get to the finished idea. And I'd say I also with what you were saying, simplicity is very, very difficult. I think it's very, very hard to not get in your own way by thinking, well, this is not enough, but also to do something that's simple and effective and that people really gravitate towards is actually really hard. I think it's like pop music, you know, we always think, oh, it's very, you know, it's very simple. It doesn't have like musicianship, etc. But it's actually like to build a pop song is very, very hard. And, you know, I don't know how to do it, but I have actually massive respect for people who can.
The minimalist route. And then I think of someone like Beck, who talks about taking the exact opposite. You know, for most of his career, he went the, what do you call it, the maximalist route.
Yes.
Everything in the kitchen sink. And knowing that you sort of make your way there at one point, I'd be really interested to hear what that sounds like on your side of things. What does your version of maximum sound like?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it is a, like, you know, there's definitely some layers on this record for sure. But, you know, when you were talking about Be On Your Way, that was a song that the, you know, 90% of it was there the whole time, but it took like a year to kind of get an arrangement that felt, you know, equally epic and intimate at the same time. And sort of didn't go in the way of the feeling and the emotion of the song.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Igor of Daughter. Then take a track like Junk Mail, which has its own feel in the way it dances around. I mean, and she's whispering throughout. Like, what's the story behind that one? I'll just direct on that one. I'd love to hear how that track came together.
Yeah. So this is a song that Elna kind of came up with and produced as well. I did some additional production of it, but she was definitely kind of at the helm of that one. She brought basically like a little drum loop and the kind of the bass line, which kind of sounds like a guitar really, but it's actually bass. And then I just sent her some ideas that I recorded through the microphone of my computer, and she was just like, this is it. This is great. And I'm like, no, this can't be it. Like, I've literally just recorded this through the crappiest mic, you know, possibly on the planet. And I'm playing, you know, terribly. This is just me trying stuff. And, you know, I'm very open to sending terribly played stuff to Elena, but I don't want the world to hear it. you know, she kind of just chopped it up a bit, and we just end up being this sort of collage of sort of first ideas, you know, especially in the intro, you can sort of hear a lot of that, and we process that more and send it through some reverbs and stuff. And then Elna also equally sort of in a collage-y kind of way, took all these junk mail emails she received, and she picked words from each of them, and she kind of pieced them together and created sentences. And, you know, that sort of surrealist kind of era, you know, creative like method. and she basically got these sentences that actually meant a lot to her, despite that, you know, those words were all taken from different contexts. And yeah, that became junk mail essentially. And we then recorded some strings, you know, that have this really cool kind of menacing droney sound, in a swimming pool, in an old swimming pool in London, that now serves as a recording studio. There's lots to say, but hopefully that covers it.
Yeah. Yeah. And the strings, what, 12 ensemble? Is that?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. 12 ensemble who seem to just be playing with everyone now.
Dude, they sound so good though, and they sound so good what they're doing on here. And that's interesting about the lyrics too. I picked up on that, because it does feel cohesive, even though I wasn't trying to decipher. But like, I was thinking like William S. Burroughs, the beat writer, he used to write whole books, you know, with that method, like in play a lot of the time. And that's an interesting writing tool.
Yeah, well, I guess it's limitations, isn't it? It's
sure.
Like you set a certain number of preconditions, and then you just build meaning with that, and you know, it's beautiful.
Well, speaking of building beautiful meanings, I'll take that seg. the campaign started with dried dandelions being sent out to people, and of course, we have the cover with the dandelion. What does that say as a representation for the album?
Well, the album cover and the dried flower is kind of, I mean, it can mean many things, but an important one for us was this idea of something that's fixed in time. You know, you kind of, you know, maybe receive some flowers and then you decide to dry them and keep them as they are. And they're dead, but they're also very much, you know, they very much look alive. And I think the album in part is about memory and about like kind of wanting to hold on to certain memories and certain people. And it felt like this dried flower kind of represented that really well.
That's and thinking about that title, Stereo Mind Game, as conflicting voices.
That kind of alludes maybe a bit more to, yeah, those conflicting voices one, you know, has in the head, you know, if you're people like us, probably at all times, but like, you know, it's about, you know, contradicting feelings, sort of learning to deal with those and live with those. And it also comes from a song called Party, which like we have this tradition of picking a line from one of the songs on the album as the album title.
Yeah, well, it plays beautifully. And
I love the layers when it comes kind of across like that, you know, more than just a title, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So
yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. And we wanted it to also feel like a bit of a stereo hug as well, you know, just really for people to feel like it's coming from both sides of the head.
Well, speaking of multiple voices, I should bring up, you actually do some vocals on here on Future Lover. What does that say about the future of Daughter? I mean, does that open new doors for you all?
I don't know. I wouldn't say that it was like massively thought out. It was kind of more like, I guess, sort of luck. I don't know if that's the word. I don't know if I'm lucky or not. The way we were writing that song is we were just really struggling with the chorus, and I was trying out some harmonies and stuff and trying out melodies, and I was just like, actually, this sounds pretty good with your voice in. Do you want to just keep it in? And so we did. And so, yeah, it ends up being a little bit more like a duet. And we kind of like the idea that it's maybe like two people on both sides of the telephone.
Just another great moment on a fantastic record. I really do mean that. Stereo Mind Game, it's so good. I'm so glad you guys are back. Even though you've been working the whole time and it probably doesn't seem like that for you, it's been an eternity for us out here. So
thank you so much, Kyle.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Oh, absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And my thanks to Igor. The new Daughter album is called Stereo Mind Game. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, before you get out of here, please do hit that subscribe button. You'll get 3 new interviews sent to you every single week, new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Apple Podcast, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, please do head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media spots. That includes Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. All 3 of them, the address is the same, at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
A few tries, but we got there.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.